Spirit into our midst. Well, she's already here. We just acknowledge her. We don't get to keep that post-resurrection Jesus. Instead, we get a decently solid trade. When Jesus ascends, he leaves us with the Spirit, the Parakletos in the Greek. That means the Spirit of Truth. And that phrase gets variously translated and paraphrased as the Advocate, the Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper, the Mediator, who lives among us, who lives within us, who stitches us together forever. Personally, I will take any and all of those translations these days. I will take an advocate. I will take a counselor and a comforter, because these days are challenging, painful days to be humans who care about each other in the world. Pentecost is also the day we honor the beginning of the church. The church is, after all, a collection of disciples, also can be translated as students of Jesus, who continue his work in the world after his death, bound together by this Spirit of Truth. Just like the disciples or students of Jesus before us, we too are bound together by the Spirit. She speaks differently through each of us, each of our faith stories, each of our own peculiar traditions of church. And that's why we have what we call a mosaic sermon this morning, where several of us are going to tell our own stories about Spirit, about why the church matters to us, and about how the Spirit moves through our lives. Our lives are another kind of sacred text. You'll get to hear from a born and raised Pentecostal, a born and raised Mormon, and two born and raised UCCers who are a part of this community. That's the UCC for you, right? We are a collection. I am one of those born and raised UCCers. Well, at least the raised part. And this is what the Holy Spirit means to me. We spend a lot more time on the other aspects of the Trinity in the church here, right? The Creator, Jesus. So, to just ground myself again, I spent some time this week with one of my favorite theologians to reconnect with this whole idea of Spirit. That theologian's name is Catherine Keller. To get fancy about it, she's an ecofeminist process theopoeticist. I just like to say that. What that means in real people speak is that she writes about the earth and gender and God, all in language that's so dense, it's more like reading poetry than prose. Keller talks about the Spirit as the breath of God that blows through us, a creating force amidst chaos, not just in the past, in the beginning of the world that Genesis describes, but in all the beginning places in our lives. Keller describes the Spirit as, quote, mutuality. The Holy Spirit is the force that immerses us in our shared future. The Spirit lures us, connects us, draws us into community. Mutuality, another name for the Holy Spirit. That's me. As you listen to our other speakers this morning, I invite you to listen towards that lure, towards our shared future. Listen for that mutuality breathing through all of us and binding us together. First, we have a very special treat in our lineup. We get to hear from Shannon Vogel. She is sharing her confirmation statement with us. because she was officially confirmed by First Congregational Church a few weeks ago. And she has generously agreed to repeat standing in front of a bunch of people and sharing things that are vulnerable and doing that with us too. So we will hear from Shannon, then we will hear from Beth, and then we will hear from Jonathan, and I will close us. But first, I think we should have a round of applause for Shannon as she comes up here, just to embarrass her with our love. Well, there goes my intro. So, should I just start? I was the youngest of the five in our group, and I sort of had to force myself to act older sometimes. I've kind of gotten used to it now, both because of being the youngest in my grade and in the confirmation group. This time, it sort of made me more aware of myself, both because of being myself in the small group and sometimes trying to blend in and not be myself, like fake it till you make it. It seems like such a short time that we've been in the group, like we started, well, yesterday, 2 weeks ago. And it's been really fun. Honestly, I think we haven't paid much attention to what we're supposed to be learning. I don't want to speak for anyone else, even though they're not here, so I have to. But I do think we've gotten a lot closer. And when we were in Guatemala on the mission trip, it made me think about how the people there get everything from the mission. I can't help wondering what they believe, especially because the principal at the school we visited said that the students sometimes only speak the native languages. It seems like they're committed to go to the Catholic Church so often and early, but I wonder if they chose that for themselves or if they just need the support. Kathy and I have been talking about how faith is all about questions and doubting and following the path that leads you on and not having all the answers. There's that quote from Gracie Allen, "Never put a period where God has put a comma." And that's given me permission to question, search, and explore my faith within and with our community. I can be on my own journey, learning about myself, and it's still going towards God because God is all that, everything. The Bible story that means the most to me is the story of doubting Thomas because he doesn't believe something before he sees it with his own eyes. It's hard for me to have faith that there's a personified God out there without evidence. I can believe that everything is connected, but I feel weird trying to fit myself to the Christ is the child of God, holy stuff. The most important thing about the church to me is being in this community and it's so tightly knit and that the people care for each other. I think that the connections are more important than what I can believe, and I want to be confirmed and connected to this community, even if I'm not yet clear about my faith. Having grown up in two sort of separate communities, it's important to stay connected to both of the places that are almost part of my family. I think the connections and questions that lead you on your path are your faith. The love and caring in our relationships and community are the most important things. To be able to stay connected with the Lindale community after confirmation, I'm going to keep going on servant trips, including one this summer, and I'll still be in youth group and help out at the Simpson Shelter once a month. I'd really like to thank Kathy for being my mentor and for all the talks and time together. She's been my connection to you all, and it was so great of her to miss so much of her time here to help me on this journey. It was such a great experience, and all the love and support I've gotten from you was really helpful. Yeah, that's...
Hello. My name is Beth Michael Ellsworth. My pronouns are they and she. I've been coming to Lyndale since about the end of February of this year, and I grew up in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as Mormon. I have family on both sides that were members of the church when it first was started in the 1830s, and who, so it's very deep in my family, and I would say that is one of the primary focal points of my identity. And I'm also queer and non-binary. And it has been a huge process over many years to, and it's ongoing, it's not over, to figure out the relationship I want to have with Mormonism. Because there is a point where I, where it became too painful to stay connected. And I'm also someone who's interested in spirituality as a, for me, it is about undoing injustice. It's about liberation. And it was difficult. I found as my developing social, political consciousness emerged, I grew frustrated with my faith tradition in many ways. So I give that preface because just as an introduction, and right now in my life, I'm really I'm trying to figure out the things that I'm going to keep and the things I'm going to let go. I think there's a tendency, there's a need often when you experience trauma and spiritual violence, which is what I have experienced and what many people experience. And I want to say this, it's not only that, it's mixed. But there's a need often to separate yourself so you can get clarity. and that's been my process for a while. And even just getting out, these are the scriptures I grew up with. This is the Bible. This is what we call a triple combination, Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price. These books, I haven't pulled them out for a really long time. Because it's been painful. But they have a special, as I was holding them today, as Ashley was reading the first scripture, that deep sense of this was something that gave me joy and guidance was there with me. So I'm in a process of reclaiming those things. And it's been very helpful to be here somewhere where I feel unconditional acceptance. It's not predicated on being a certain way or denying certain parts of yourself. It's just there. And it's been very powerful for me. And so that I can decide what I'm going to keep and what I'm going to let go of. So there's a long preface, but there's some things I want to share that about Mormon belief in about the spirit and about also believe that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, was given to us after Christ's death to be a constant companion, to be a comforter, to guide us We do something when we're baptized, and we do an ordinance called the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is where you are basically given you're baptized and then you're confirmed a member of the church, and with the confirmation comes a laying on of hands, and you're basically told to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And every time that I have experienced that happening, I get a little jolt in my heart of, I mean, it's a command, you're commanded to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's really powerful. The belief is that it's predicated on your faithfulness, that you will have that companionship, which can get tricky because sometimes that turns into a worthiness thing that turns into being able to be loved by God based on things that don't matter. But I think the heart of the idea and the way I reclaim what is faithfulness is putting your heart in line with Spirit. And as you do that, you get it. You get to have it with you. And in just thinking about this, I realized I was given the gift of the Holy Ghost as a child. I was baptized at 8, and I was an 8-year-old who really was intense about what I was doing. and it was very important to me. And as I think I've forgotten that's something that I am entitled to have. Another thing that, I feel like I've found that guidance, and I've had to like sort of go expand outside of my original faith community in order to understand more about what the Spirit, receiving the Spirit means, because so much of it was associated with conditional love and trauma. But I think it's a really powerful, that it's a right we have to have the companionship of the Holy Spirit to guide us. There's one more, there's a scripture I want to share that is also, Mormonism believes in ongoing revelation, both institutional and personal. And those two conflict sometimes. But because the idea of personal revelation is so strong in the church, you're really challenged to find out for yourself if the things the church teaches are true. But anyway, this is a scripture that it's in the book called The Doctrine of Covenants, and it's in section 8 in verses 2 and 3. And this is talking about what revelation feels like, how you will know. It says, "Yea, behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which shall come upon you and which shall dwell in your heart. Now behold, this is the spirit of revelation. Behold, this is the spirit by which Moses brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground." And it goes on. But the basic idea is that the Holy Spirit speaks to you in not just one place. It doesn't just talk to you intellectually. It speaks to you in your heart. And that's been a really powerful thing for me. I had a teacher who said, you know, sometimes you can be tricked by your intellect and you can be tricked by your emotions, but if you're getting the same answer in both places, it's pretty good. You can be pretty sure. As I have done somatic work, I had a teacher who talked about your heart, your head brain, your heart brain, your gut brain and your instinctual brain. And she talked about when you're making a decision, put your hand on each place and see what you feel as you're thinking about that decision. And when they line up, then you know you can go forward. And that was really special to me when she shared that, because it aligned very much with what I had found so dear to me in my own faith tradition. So I think to me that's the Spirit. It's the knowledge that we have. We are entitled to that guidance as we are trying to be in line with it. The way we can know is by feeling. in the different, and it's a body-based thing. It's not esoteric. I mean, it is, but it's also very embodied. And we have the capacity to gain clarification by tuning into that. So I think that's what I want to share in Mormon Church. We close in the name of Jesus Christ, which I think is wonderful. And often I also say, closing in the name of all of us who are divine.
Is this recording? It is recording. Okay. So the beginning of my life as a Jesus follower was in 1998, the first time I went to a Pentecostal church in North Carolina. I ended up there almost by coincidence, but with my life, my 15-year-old life, in a bad place. While I was there that first time, I had what I still think of as a mystical encounter with the Holy Spirit. And this encounter, and the realization I had that I wanted more of whatever had just happened to me, changed everything. I'd spend the next decade in different roles in Pentecostal church spaces, having more of those experiences, longing for them, getting an always changing language to articulate them, trying to hear the voice from them, and trying to figure out how to live in a world where people can have those encounters, but so many barriers exist to keep us from them. In some ways, I'm still doing all of those things, but it looks very different than it did then. When I think, what does the Holy Spirit mean to me? I get a weird combination of being overwhelmed and being tender and being confused and being passionate, and I get kind of lost. So that's why I wrote this down. So the first thing I thought of is this, that God is available in this world in ways that we can encounter in our bodies. She, the Spirit, which is a language I've gotten since I was a Pentecostal, she, the Spirit, means that we can long for God, and ultimately she means that we can learn that God longs for us. And that in pursuing, we can learn that we are pursued. And the other thing I've been thinking of that hasn't been separate from that for me, but it has been distinct, and it's the ongoing realization that as the Spirit, God is always at work on the margins of the world, of the church, of the powers. The Spirit is the one who is always imagining new realities, drawing people into wild spaces to embody them, and putting the people who have been left on those margins at the center. And this has looked different for me over the years. The Spirit has always widened those margins that I can see to new things I didn't see, pushing me towards them. But it's the way I've tried to figure out how to live since I was a teenager. And some of the ways I've tried to pursue this have arguably not been helpful. But for a long time, I had this drive from when I was a teenager to kind of be on the cutting edge of things and be where things were changing. And there are ways I tried to be faithful to that, and it didn't work. And there are ways I tried to be faithful, it did work. But there are other ways I've tried to pursue this, and they've left me in awe at the life that I've been given. I found myself trying to consistently learn where the Spirit was moving the world, toward justice, creating new opportunities for that, and to put myself there as much as I could. And there's been nothing like the kind of liberation and the knowledge of how much I need liberation that I've found there. So ultimately, the Spirit for me is the one who does both of those things, and I think wants to integrate those things. The one who wants to encounter us in our bodies, and the one who leads and meets us in the way of Jesus, which leads towards the margins. That's all I've got.
So, this is a really live room that we're in. We have just moved into this sanctuary after being in one of the other ones, so I promise we will do our best to get you the written version of all of those pieces as well, so you can digest them in that way also. But as you have heard, the Spirit does not arrive and help us become the church by making us all the same, or making us believe the same thing, or making us understand the world in all the same ways. The Spirit comes to stitch us together in and through our uniqueness and our differences. The Spirit comes to bind us into community, to help us wrestle a blessing in the midst of all of those differences. So, to close our multi-voiced sermon this morning, I offer you a poem from Jan Richardson called When We Breathe Together. This is the blessing we cannot speak by ourselves. This is the blessing we cannot summon by our own devices, cannot shape to our own purposes, cannot bend to our own will. This is the blessing that comes when we leave behind our aloneness, when we gather together, when we turn towards one another. This is the blessing that blazes among us when we speak the words strange to our ears, when we finally listen into the chaos, when we breathe together the Spirit at last. May we breathe together. Amen.